Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday morning show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Andy Cohen, editor of Counselor Magazine, and we have a great show planned for you today. It's Groundhog's Day, of course, and there's some conflicting news about winter from the local groundhogs here in the Northeast, but we'll get to that later. This morning, we're going to be taking your calls about how to deal with pricing when you're in a sales slump. Have a question about how to get yourself out of a sales slump? We're here to help. Give us a ring at 215-953-4979. If we take your call on the air, we'll send you a $25 gift card. Meanwhile, let me introduce our co-hosts for today. First, we have Kathy Houston, the editor of Advantages. Kathy, how are you on this cold winter morning?
I'm good, but I don't know what's conflicting, the groundhog saw his shadow. That means six more weeks of winter.
Here's the deal, Kath. In New York, we have Staten Island Chuck. He did not see his shadow.
Staten Island Chuck?
So, in New York, we have four more weeks of winter. Here in Pennsylvania, I guess you guys have to have six more weeks of winter.
Sounds like a guy at a bar.
Yeah. That's the way it is.
From Jersey Shore.
And that's the way it is in New York. We like our groundhogs to, you know, get it on during the morning, I guess. And next, we have Michelle Bell, editor of Supplier Global Resource. I understand you had an interesting battle with a Band-Aid last night. What's behind that, Michelle?
I did. I cut my finger trying to open a blister pack of DayQuil, uh-huh. And I sliced my finger. So
excellent.
At night, there's your problem.
Yeah, it was at night. But I had to call Johnson & Johnson because I had issues with the Band-Aids. And let's just say if Johnson & Johnson has a list, I am now on it.
As a complainer. The J&J, the feared J&J list. Michelle, never to buy Band-Aids again. And finally, we have Dave Vagnoni, staff writer for Counselor Magazine, along for the ride here today. Dave, how are you?
I'm great. I'm a little concerned about what's in this mug, though.
Well, it's disgusting.
The inside of that mug is,
What do we think?
It's been there a while, and it had some coffee once.
I think somebody needs to do some dishes.
It's still in there. Of course, manning the phones and the switchboard. Yeah, I'm right on that. We have our team of Craig Veltri and Vinny Driscoll. Guys, wave to the camera. Give a little wave. Craig, come on, do something. Here we go. Okay, good. Before we really get going here today, Michelle, tell us what's on tap for the show.
Well, we have a jam-packed show today. Our own Joe Haley is going to call in from the ASI Dallas show. Then we're going to talk about what's a fair sales quota in 2010, and our sales guru, Kathy, is going to handle that. Dave's going to talk about top margin-killing myths. I'm going to talk about five hot tech trends for 2010, and yes, the unfortunately named iPad is among them. We're going to talk about...
That's gotten some heat.
Yeah. How to rebuild a broken team and keep them happy. Dave's going to talk about tips for building the foundation of your small business. Andy, did you know you're going to be talking about how to catch some venture capital cash?
I'm on top of that.
Oh, super.
You bet.
Kathy's going to be talking about marketing tips for Valentine's Day.
Aww.
Just in time. Dave's going to talk about the top three companies to work for and what you can learn from them. And if there's time, I'll discuss problem personalities in the office place.
Yes,
and there's one for each of us.
And
I have
identified.
We'll put up a mirror and then we'll see. And Dave's going to lead us off with the news.
That's right. Thanks, Andy. Good morning again, everyone. Let's begin with more positive economic news. According to a government report, the U.S. gross domestic product is up again, this time up 5.7% in the fourth quarter of 2009, easily beating analyst projections. It means the economy is expanding at its fastest pace in 6 years. A closer look at the numbers shows business investment rose 2.9%, while salaries and benefits also increased slightly. Economists expect the GDP to jump a full 3% in 2010. If you watched last week's State of the Union address, you heard President Obama promise help for small businesses. Later today at a town meeting in New Hampshire, the president will propose a new plan that would provide $30 billion to local banks. That money would be targeted for small business loans. Next up, the largest distributor in the industry is hiring in Iowa. Staples Promotional Products will add 50 jobs at its Orange City and Marcus plants. Applications are being accepted for positions in customer service, distribution, and decoration. In April of last year, you may recall, Staples eliminated jobs in Marcus, citing a struggling economy. And finally, Joe Haley, we're told, will soon be bringing you greetings from the Lone Star State. The ASI show Dallas is underway, and Joe will be calling in with a live report at any moment. And that's the industry news for today, Tuesday, February 2nd, 2010.
Okay, thanks, Dave. Well, the phone lines are indeed heating up with callers for our How to Get Out of a Sales Slump segment. Do you want some advice from the host today on how to improve pricing and sales? Give us a ring at 215-953-4979, and we want to hear from you. Remember, If we take your call on the air, we'll give you a $25 gift card. But before we get to that, we do have a special guest on the line. On line three is Joe Haley. The ASI show is taking place this week in Dallas. And Joe, how's it going there in Big D?
You know, Andy, I feel like Kevin Bacon in that scene in Animal House where everyone's
I can't wait to hear this.
Says, please, I just got shot with confetti. I'm right at the entrance, and I'm about to get bowled over here by people coming in.
Wow.
Sounds crazy.
We got pretty good crowds here. We got Melinda's doing interviews here. We got confetti going all over the place. The people are streaming in, and I'm getting pushed up against a booth. So
okay. Don't try not to get squashed. We don't want you run over there at the opening of the ASI Dallas show. That wouldn't be good.
No, it wouldn't. But you know, Melinda says, you know, she's comparing me to Howard Stern because we got newspaper and magazine reporters here. I got to escort around. We had TV this morning on the Fox, our local Fox channel did a piece on this. NBC did something on this yesterday. CBS did something on the ASI show in the industry yesterday as well. So we got a lot of outside media coverage.
That's great.
The ASI show takes over Big D. Now, Education Day was yesterday. How did that go?
Education Day was really well. We had nearly 60 classes. Everyone was jam-packed. I did a session that Andy did in Orlando. It was a panel discussion. We had some great panelists on there, Cliff Quicksell, David Blazin, and Cindy Gibbs from I Promote Shoe. And it was well-received, as most of the classes were. So Supplier Secrets, or no, the new distributor track yesterday, the biggest crowd they've ever had for that. So that just keeps growing the popularity.
Cool. Now, are you going to go find yourself some hot products on the show floor that you're going to show on the Joe Show today?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what I was looking at the new Advantages product pavilion outside the show floor, and what you see a lot of, like, sleek styling, almost Euro styling of products. So products have been around for a while, but they're just getting a new twist to the way that they look. And, of course, there's still a whole slew of eco-friendly products that are coming out. Every show, it seems like there's more and more. So I think I'll be able to do a good job of snagging some for today and for tomorrow and have some sent back to the office because there's certainly a lot of new products here today.
All right. Well, don't let us hold you up and try not to get run down by the crowds there as they enter the show floor.
Yeah, I have to work my way now through the crowd. I have to go against the grain to try and get up to the registration area, and I don't know if I can make it because these people are ready to get to business here.
Oh, Joe, you're always working against the grain. All right, Joe, have a good day.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
We'll see you.
All right, well, now we're ready to take your calls about overcoming sales slumps. Remember, give us a ring at 215-953-4979, and if we take your call on the air, we'll give you a $25 gift card. On line five, we have Elaine. Elaine, how are you today?
Okay, how are you?
Doing good.
I have a question for you. First of all, I'd like to say that the Las Vegas show was fabulous. I was there for the ASI show. But I wanted to find out and check. There's one client that's just not working with me. I've lowered my prices. I've gone to different distributors trying to get different products from all different places, trying to get them the best price. And now I just feel that they're just taking advantage of me because they're not working with me at all. I don't know if you could suggest what else I could do or what other steps I could take.
Oh, I think there's somebody looking for mommy in the background.
There is.
You know, that's a tough issue that I know that a lot of distributors are facing. If it's a client that you've worked with for a long time, then maybe you want to look at your pricing and see if there's a way you can go on trying to make it so that it works for them and you. But I would also evaluate that relationship in a critical way and determine if it's profitable enough for you. If you're spending too much time on that client and the pricing isn't worth it, then it could be time, and we've said this on the show before, that it's time to let that client go to somebody else.
It is a long-time customer, and I feel like I've done everything that I could do to get them to work with me. And, you know, I don't know if they're, you know, everybody has to take a cut in this industry, not just me, them, all different clients, all different companies. And I just feel they're just being irrational when it comes to things.
Well, I think you should just be honest with them. If they're a long-time loyal customer, I think you could just tell them, look, I need to make some money too. So, you know, just tell them what you can do for them and absolutely what you can't do for them.
And it won't be bad etiquette to come right out and say that?
No. I think honesty is the best policy.
Okay, great.
All right, Elaine, well, thanks for calling in, and hang on the line so Vinny can get your information.
Thanks so much.
On line one, we have Diana calling in. Diana, how are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
Doing good. What's your question for the ASI radio hosts?
I'm worried about losing sales. I really don't want to negotiate on price, and I'm concerned. Are there any other options for me?
I think so. I think that if you don't want to cut price, you can look at other services that you offer, like artwork. Maybe don't charge for that. Creative services. I know usually in a great economy, we say yes, for by all means, charge for creative services. So maybe you waive fees for things like that. But as far as I think you can delineate between cutting prices for an order and looking at the other services that you offer.
Okay. Or even for new clients, like Michelle said, maybe you can frame it as an offer, like 1 hour of consultative time for free, you know? So put it in that way.
So just offer some other things.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the key now is to be pointing out to clients the amount of services that you offer them. When the conversation is totally turned to price, right, then it's not a winning battle for distributors. You know, there's a lot of services that you provide as far as deliveries and creative ideas and everything else you work with on your clients about as far as their promotional programs are concerned. And they need to know, you know, you could even itemize some of those things in an invoice and just mark them off as free or something, you know, mm-hmm. any sort of creative idea or whatever you've come up with, and just show them that they're getting so much more for the price than they may have realized than just the product that they're receiving.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea. Thank you very much.
All right,
Thank
Diana.
You.
Thanks very much. Hang on the line.
Have a good day. Bye.
On line two, we have Lori calling in. Lori, how are you today?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
Well, I'm a distributor, and I've noticed that over the past few months, some of my clients are trying to negotiate price with me. So I'm wondering if I should do that to get the sales, or does that set a bad precedent from here on out?
Well, like we said, you should negotiate as far as you can, but as Michelle just mentioned, you should offer some services for free. So it doesn't necessarily come down to price cutting all the time.
Okay.
And also check with your suppliers on what kind of specials they offer, like EQP and special pricing.
Okay, great.
Don't over-discount. No. I think that's a serious mistake distributors make. If you over-discount, you are setting a bad precedent for
right.
down the line.
Okay, that's what I was worried about. So.
Well, yeah, Dave makes a good point because you, when you try to get to the, you know, the next year, if the economy is better, then, you know, once you set that discount, then everybody, all your clients that got that discount are going to expect it. So you have to be careful with that.
The unfortunate thing, though, what Lori just said is both of things are true. She said, is it sometimes a necessity in a bad economy, and is it a bad precedent? Yes,
mm-hmm.
both of those
yeah,
things are true.
It's true.
Okay.
It is a bit of a catch-22.
Okay.
All right, Lori, well, thanks for calling in, and please do hang on the line.
All right, thanks.
Well, we have a special guest calling in from the ASI Dallas show. On line four, we have Tim Andrews. Tim, how are you this
Hi,
morning?
Hi, Andy. How are you? We're doing well here in Dallas.
How's everything in Big D?
We got a great crowd. We really had a packed house yesterday for our education sessions, including the new distributor track. This morning, we opened with Supplier Secrets. We, again, had a really great packed house. We just opened the show floor. And we've got about the same number of exhibitors as we had last year, maybe up a couple. And so we're looking for a great show, and distributors seem like they're really upbeat and excited to be here.
Now, Joe Haley called in a little while ago, and he said that he was about to get stampeded on the show floor as it opened. So I'm assuming that didn't happen to you as well.
That did not happen to me. I was there with Matthew Cohn, who's celebrating his 40th birthday, and Norman Cohn, the chairman of the company, and we were able to cut the badge and get out of the way before the crowd came through.
Gotcha. Now, I know that you're always out on the show floor looking for product trends and industry trends. What are you hearing and seeing out there in Dallas for the last couple of days?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. You know, one question that some distributors have had lately is, you know, are suppliers spending enough money last year and this year on developing new products, or did they pull back because of the economy? And I think that what we've seen in ASI Orlando and also here at ASI Dallas is that rather than perhaps introducing 20 or 30 new products in our line, suppliers focused on 10 or 15. So certainly there's a lot of new products to see here, and you know, I'm excited about that. I also have heard from suppliers who have started reinvesting in their inventory, because one issue that distributors have had in the last few months is that inventory levels were down. And so we're hearing a lot of suppliers saying that they've restocked their warehouses and are ready for business, and business is starting to pick up. So that's good for everybody in 2010.
Gotcha. Well, that is some good news. So where are you off to now?
I am off to the show floor to sort of check on a few things and see how things are going before we get off to the to registration, which is Patrick. We were down helping registration for a little while to get some people through the line so we can get them on the show floor.
Sounds good. Well, Tim, thanks for calling in.
Hey, thank you guys very much, and I agree with everything everyone was saying a few minutes ago. You know, especially now that business is coming back, this is not the time to discount. It's the time to go in and talk to your customers about how to market themselves in 2010 so they can make more money, and it's all about giving them a good return on their investment, and we know the promotional products do that. And for people that don't remember, you can go on asicentral.com and look for a study we have in the research area that helps you explain to your in-buyer customer the return on investment, which is better with promotional products than almost any other kind of marketing. So I encourage people to take a look at that.
Yeah, that's the advertising specialties impression study that we did recently, and it does have some very good value for distributors to prove the ROI of promotional products. Well, Tim, thanks for the advice, and good luck on the show floor today.
Thank you very much. See you back in the office in a little while.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Now let's take a quick break to hear from today's show sponsor, iPromoteU. But when we return, we'll hear about some tech trends for 2010.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by iPromoteU. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with iPromoteU today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. iPromoteU, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or go to www.ipromoteu.com.
All right, well, welcome back on ASI's Tuesday Morning Radio Show. We have more calls on the line focused on dealing with sales slumps and pricing when in a sales slump. On line one, we have Regina. Regina, how are you this morning?
Hi, great, thanks.
What's your question for the host?
My question is, I occasionally get asked by either corporations or organizations to bid on a job, where they're going to take like three bids and pick the lowest, and I don't know if I want to get involved in that, if I should, or if you have any tips as far as, you know, getting to be the winning bidder. That's what I was wondering about.
Well, I would say going in first with the way you put it there, if you actually know that they're bidding, that they're doing a bid process just to get the lowest bid, then I wouldn't participate in that. That's a dangerous road because you're going to go up against, you know, maybe some online sellers, some people with lower overhead than you might have, and that's just not a winning proposition. There are some good RFP situations that you can get in where you can prove your value and actually, you know, try to get the price that you expect. But if you know going in that they're just looking for the lowest price, that's not something I would get involved in.
Also, you can...
How do I find the other ones that you were talking about?
Well, it sort of depends on the clients. You know, they usually come to you, but the larger clients tend to send out RFPs, requests for proposals, and then they'll look for, you know, five or so distributors that can fulfill their programs. But there is some information on winning RFPs on our website.
And also Tango Partners, I would Google them. Marshall Lande is a great friend to the industry, and they tackle RFPs all the time. They consult with distributors on those, and they have really great advice. So I would Google Tango Partners and ask for Marshall Lande.
Great, thanks.
All right, Regina, well, thanks for calling in, and good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Hang on the line so Vinny can get your information. On line two, we have Ray, who's calling in with a question about overcoming a sales slump. Ray, how are you today?
Well, I'm doing fine. I have found that my clients are in as bad a shape as I am, that we all have that in common. And that being the case, being a marketing consulting, I'm finding that it's a win-win situation for me to go in there and empathize with the client, to listen to where they're at, what their situation is. And as I do, oftentimes I make suggestions and recommendations that may be out of the sphere of what I can do, but my client begins to understand, you know, that's a pretty good perspective. Maybe I ought to try a newspaper ad. Maybe I ought to try hiring better people. Maybe I ought to do all these different things. And as a result, when I do make a recommendation as to something that I offer, they're more receptive to that because they see that I genuinely are caring for their bottom line as opposed to mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
Ray, you're preaching to the choir here. We've been advocating the idea of listening and trying to identify you know, client challenges for
a while
now.
But it really does work. It truly does work when I see my clients melt in front of me as I just really just shut down the whole process and say, look, can we talk? Talk to me. Tell me what's going on. And as a result, they just literally, you can see them resigned to the fact that, yes, they're hurting. They want to bump up sales. They're looking for solutions. And that is what we are all about.
Empathy. Right. Empathy mm-hmm. is a really strong emotion to share with people. I think that if you put yourself in their position and you let them know that you're, you know how they feel, I think that that goes a long way.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
probably one of the number one qualities of successful salespeople is to view yourself more as a consultant and not mm-hmm. as just selling something.
You can't be empathetic if you're just pushing products.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You can't do that. You have to be a consultant.
Great
right,
advice, Ray.
Ray, thanks for calling in with the advice and hang on the line so Vinny can get your information.
Okay.
All right, well, Kathy, in 2010, obviously, it's been a difficult time for people to come up with sales quotas and
right.
to, figure out what's fair as far as that's concerned for salespeople. Mm-hmm. So what is fair for sales quotas in 2010?
Well, this is a Q&A with President Michael Alter. Well, he's the president of Short Payroll. And, of course, setting quotas is a challenge because if the goal's too easy, you pay more than you should. And on the other side, if you set it too high, your sales reps don't make any money and they're going to leave your company. So how he goes about setting sales quotas is he says there's actually no one formula. He looks at past performance, experience and skills of the reps, and the market, and then he puts them all together. And the number has to be economically viable. He has to be smiling as he pays you. And you have to be smiling as you accept it. So roughly 80% of reps should be able to make quota at any one time. And if it's much higher, he says there's probably not enough of a stretch. But he's not looking for the end of the year, their bottom 20% of sales reps to be gone. He says you should have some leeway in right. your quota formula that people, people aren't going to make it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much just look at the past performance, the experience and skills of the reps, how long they've been there at the market. You have to put it all together, and you have to tweak quotas once in a while. But
sure.
once they're set, the salespeople should live and die by them.
Live and die by
mm-hmm.
them. Uh-oh.
Well,
don't
they
die.
Might die if they don't live up to them.
Might not be working there anymore.
That's right.
All right. Well, we obviously touched a nerve with the pricing and sales slump segment, and that obviously goes towards the importance of margins. Now, Dave, you have an item on the top margin-killing myths. So tell
us
a little more about that.
These come from Rafe Vandenberg, who is an expert in pricing strategies. We'll see if we agree with Rafe as I give you these four myths. Myth number one. The market controls the price. The argument here is that there's not one price. There should be a price range. And if you limit yourself to one price point, you're leaving money on the table. I think that does make sense. Myth number two, executives have more important things to worry about than price. That's wrong thinking. A merger or a new facility might make a company money in the long term, but if they're not concentrating on price in the short term, they're not going to really help their margin. Hmm. That's myth number two. Myth number three, experienced salespeople know how to price. This could be a controversial one. The reality is, according to Rafe, that accomplished salespeople often guess on price or they groove pricing. They don't do enough research on the market to know what the prices should be.
I
agree with that.
They're comfortable in their
that.
Positions.
Yeah. Too comfortable.
And myth number four, pricing has to be simple to execute. The truth is that prices should fit into a model of recommendations and there's software to help with that that's really not all that expensive. And overall, I think what Rafe is trying to say is that if you're offering services, that is the key as compared to pushing products, something that it's a theme that we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But four myths that hopefully we've debunked and will help you in 2010.
Yeah, I would agree with that salesperson myth. Once they get sort of stuck in their ways a little bit.
Training is key. Training is key to kind of counter that.
Yep. All right, Michelle.
Okay, so we're okay with Rafe.
I guess we're
we love
we're, just,
Rafe.
We're just not okay with his name.
His name sounds like he's a Bond villain, for the love of God.
Rafe Vandenberg. Yeah.
Oh, well, the way you say it. Then it's not so bad. All right, resident techie Michelle Bell.
That's so wrong. That's so not true. Right now, the tech guys here at ASI, their heads just exploded.
Give us some five hot tech trends for 2010.
Actually, I'm going to give you three, and I'm going to put the rest on our website on asicentral.com/radio.
No, we want five.
Well, I'm going to skip past
we'll take three.
The iPad.
You'll be happy with it.
I'm going to skip past the iPad because I think that we know enough about the iPad at this point to find out what it is.
We're padded out.
Despite its bad name.
Mm-hmm.
and the misstep there. You know, will it be a game changer? I think it's a little too early to say. Some people think that it will be. One thing will be a hybrid device that's part smartphone, part laptop, like the Apple iPod. One that came out is called the IdeaPad, and it's a notebook computer from Lenovo with a detachable screen that can be used as a multi-touch slate tablet with its own processor. Another thing will be, Joe and Andy will love this for sports, I think, the TVit. This is a portable TV. It's a digital portable TV.
Yes.
TVit uses an antenna to pick up free digital TV signals from local TV stations and transmits them to to mobile phones via Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Another one will be green technology and green computers. Hardware companies at the CES show underscored energy efficiency and environmental stewardship as key design considerations. HP announced the new Compaq H100 Elite Ultra Slim Desktop PC, which is entirely free of toxic materials such as PVCs, and it'll be available this month, actually, for $849. So the price on those things, I mean, they've been around before, but they were very expensive. Mm-hmm. To get a computer that was, you know, and I'm using air quotes, completely green, because it's really not completely green, but it was super expensive. But the prices there are coming down, so they'll be more affordable and more readily available in the future.
You know what's also coming that I'm really excited about?
What's
3D
that?
TV.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Can't wait. Could you imagine watching a football game on 3D TV? Dave, you're with me on this.
I am with you on this.
Do you need glasses? Yeah.
No.
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 Oh.
That's what makes it special.
But it's awfully expensive right now. So, Michelle, you'll be the early adopter, right?
Yeah, I'll just try to. I'll try to have games. To contain my enthusiasm over that.
Super Bowl at Michelle.
All right, Kathy. Well, we've talked a lot on this show about dealing with maybe demotivated people and unhappy people in the workplace while the business world has not been so good. So how do you rebuild a broken team and keep them happy?
Okay, here are some ways leaders can help put the spring back into their workers' steps, Andy.
All right, let's spring it.
First of all, you have to redefine the vision for your company in 2010. Get clear about where you're going and enroll others in the campaign. It's time for leaders to pull those dreams out of the mothballs and create a new, bold vision for their organization.
Mm-hmm.
Stop micromanaging. I love this one. The tendency during a downturn is to begin nitpicking and second-guessing your people, making every decision. But it saps the energy and morale from your team. If you if you treat your team like children, they're going to act like children.
Kind of like us.
I think the ship sailed in ASI's editorial department.
Next, celebrate singles, and I don't mean Dave and Michelle. Celebrate singles
There it is.
We just turned into Match.com here.
No, this means rather than the home runs, celebrate the little successes along the way, because during a down economy, there's a lot more little successes than huge ones.
The base
That's
hits.
A good one.
Also, here's one more. Lead from the front. Get out of your office and re-engage with your people and customers. You have to be more visible, accessible, instructional, and motivational.
Gotcha.
And there you go.
I like pizza parties. Is that
pizza
in there somewhere?
Pizza parties. I'm sure it is, but I'm not going to read the whole thing.
Pizza parties are a home run, though. That's not.
Yes.
That's not
a base hit.
All right, Dave. Well, a lot of small businesses are looking to build themselves up from the ground up. So what are some of the tips for foundation building for a small business?
Yes, we're trading in Rafe for Rhonda Abrams, a small business expert who has some suggestions for how to build a successful small business. Suggestion number one, have role models. That'll help define your business vision and give you goals. Number two, figure out what makes your idea special. Think about what your company can offer that your competitors cannot. Number three, create an identity. You need a name, of course, a logo, a tagline, but something people sometimes overlook is a color theme. For example, if you're going to be the green company, what color should you be?
Red?
Green, obviously. Not red.
Orange.
See? People like you. And number four, organize quickly. Get a system in place right away to track expenses. And just as important, track contacts that you're making within the industry. Mm-hmm. Information is power. So there are your tips for building a successful small business.
Very good.
From Rhonda.
That sounds good. Well, we have time for one more call. We have on line one, David. David, how are you this morning?
Good morning.
What's your question for the host today?
I was curious. I've been out of the business for about 10 years now, just getting back in, and I was curious if we had any statistics on the average profit margin and how it compares to years past for the industry as a whole.
It's all you, Andy.
It's all you, Andy. Yeah.
I don't know it off the top of my head. I know that the profit margins probably over the last 12 months to 2 years have been kind of pinched a little bit. We do have data in our State of the Industry report, and if you give Vinny your email address, I'll send you some information on that. But I do know that over the past couple of years that the profit margins for distributors and suppliers have been pinched a little, and they've also been dealing with collection issues, you know, on both sides, both distributors from clients and suppliers from distributors. Right. So that's been, you know, payment terms have been lengthening, and the days of sales outstanding have been lengthening. But I can certainly forward you some stats on that. Just give Vinny your email address on offline.
Okay.
All right. Well, David, thanks for the call. All right. Before we go, we have Michelle's going to show us some how to handle some problem personalities
in
the workplace.
Oh,
so
boy.
Michelle, talk to us. Which do we
wait,
fall
let's
into?
Figure out who we are.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have the change resistant member. Andy.
I love change. Yeah. Bring it on.
This person doesn't change course unless forced to. He avoids change, prefers the status quo, and will make minor adjustments in courses of actions if needed, and sticks to goals once they are set, and changes goals if conditions change. He recognizes the pressures that impinge on group progress, takes advantage of opportunities when they emerge, and is willing to compromise when necessary, but he adapts slowly. Andy Cohn. Then we have
I adapt pretty quickly, actually. You're crazy.
I'm sticking up for you, Andy.
Yeah. Thanks, Kat. We have the emotional member of the team. This person expresses emotion, gets angry, threatens, intimidates, focuses on potential losses resulting from a wrong action or decision.
Now we've moved into Michelle territory. Yeah.
Focuses on the potential benefits of action or decision, argues, doesn't give up until all others agree.
Oh, yes, we've definitely moved to Michelle territory.
Yeah.
Uses emotion to get people to conform and makes group members afraid to disagree.
That's Michelle.
Yeah.
We've identified you.
Then we have the dominant member. This person doesn't give others a chance to talk. Joe Haley. Manipulates meetings, frequently interrupts others, evaluates others' ideas. As soon as they're stated, makes decisions unilaterally, dominates the conversation, doesn't allow time for discussion, and is highly critical of those who disagree.
Oh, yeah. We have identified Joe.
We have Joe. And then we have some nice people, which would be...
Give us one more.
Okay. We have the cooperative member. This person allows others to express their ideas, allows ample time for all team members to have their say, invites new ideas, respects divergent opinions, and creates an environment in which members feel free to that they're not being evaluated and they are accepted.
Do we really have anybody like that?
I'd say Melinda's like
that. Yeah, definitely.
Dave is a little like that. But Dave pulls the conversation to a halt when it goes off on tangents and starts getting crazy.
Yeah. I also get emotional after hours.
I like
that's
that.
When it really begins.
Well, on that note, unfortunately, we are out of time for today. Thanks to our show sponsor, I Promote You. Thanks to all our hosts in the studio today. And most of all, thanks to our listeners. Remember to join us again next Tuesday at 10:30 Eastern Time when we'll talk about the importance of creativity in business. Thanks and have a great day.